Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. My name is Chris Tripolino, and in this, our final episode of Better Than Better, Greg Meyer and Maya Dallagher wonder at a better than better world. First, here's one more quick skit from Kenny Escher and me.
Hey, guess what?
Hi. I mean, I don't know what.
I think I did it.
Did what? I mean, what are you talking about?
You know how frustrated I've been with my job.
Not really. I thought you liked your job.
Yes, I do. But, you know, I've never felt like I was doing anything really important. I feel like I'm just working and not making any difference.
Well, yeah, that's kind of just like what it's like. I mean, we're just people. We do stuff and try to be decent people. But in the scheme of things, it's like a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, but what if you had a chance to do something that did matter? Because I think I do.
All right. Well, I mean, what happened?
So I've been reading about a new technology that is parallel to what our division does. And it is amazing stuff. If we can make it work for us, it would virtually erase the environmental footprint of our product line and drop the price point so that anybody could afford it and use it. This would be a major game changer.
I mean, that sounds like big time stuff.
It is. And I was in a meeting with some of our directors today, and they were complaining about their inability to cut costs. So our doodads, which are truly good and helpful, just can't be scaled. So without hardly thinking, I pitched what I had been learning and how it could be the shift we needed, and they loved it.
That's amazing. I mean, I know that you've talked about not feeling like they pay much attention to you and your notions.
Exactly. I said, what if we inverted the doohickey, added a whatchamacallit, rejiggered the thingamabob, and you'd get a brand new framostat with solar panels? What if I coordinated researching this option and bring a report back with next steps on that gizmo? And they said, yes, This could be it. I could not only be doing something worthwhile for a change, but I might be helping mainstream technology that could change the world.
Whew. I mean, that's great. I'm excited for you, but like, chill a little. I mean, don't get your sights so high that you're just going to disappoint yourself. Okay. Because I mean, one, this world needs a lot more than one new Framostat from your one division at your one company. And it's a long shot. You have a long way to go just to find out if it can work and then getting the idea accepted so the higher ups will go for it.
You know. Oh, thanks for the encouragement, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to bring you down, but as cool as this all is, you're still one person and one company. You know how many corporations are out there doing things to erase every good thing yours does?
Yeah, I know.
And remember last year when you thought your new area supervisor was going to introduce all sorts of new work patterns and make your department more fair and functional, and it was going to be so good? How'd that go?
Yeah, not so well.
Right. I mean, welcome to corporate life. I mean, I'm glad you're doing this and I'm glad you feel good about it, but I don't think this is going to change the world, and I don't want you to get sucked into that either.
You know what? No, I'm not going to give up all that easily, man. Yes, I get it. I'm not going to change the world, and neither is this new Framostat. But it is never just one thing. It's lots of people doing their one thing that changes things.
Well, I didn't mean that you should like give up. And
no, I know. I realize I'm only 1 in 7 billion people, but that's not good. That's not bad. Because if I do this one thing, that puts a dent in some of the problems of this world. There are still 6,990,000,000, you know, one less than 7 billion people out there left to do their things. We've got the numbers. We just have to do our part.
All right. And I mean, and this is your part?
I think so. What about you? You care about things. You're always going off to marches and trying to get our neighbors to recycle and attend protests. Do you do that because it doesn't matter?
I mean, of course not. It matters.
So why dump all the discouragement on me?
Yeah, I mean, sorry, you're right. I think because I'm just afraid that what I'm doing is too little too late. Probably just taking my frustration out on you.
Man, you are doing important stuff. Maybe what you and I are doing isn't enough. We aren't the only ones changing things, and we could learn to do more. You know, face it, the world has changed before, for the better and for the worse. If it could happen before, it can happen again.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I guess what we need is more people doing what they can do.
And you know what? It's dinner time.
We can do that.
So we should hit Town Hall Tap, grab a burger and a beer, and see if what's his name and who's it's are there and are up for joining us. We can be the WCC.
The what?
The World Change Club.
Oh, man, you're crazy, but I like it. Yeah, let's do it.
Recognize the Beatles there, John Lennon singing Nothing's Gonna Change My World. Yeah, but not really true. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that can change the world for you and for me. And frankly, that's not actually what John Lennon was getting at with that line. He was talking about his inner calm, his inner world, like nothing outside me can change that, and which is maybe a little different message, but I think they come together. So, hey, welcome. Good to see you here today. We are on our last week of Better Than Better, and we are talking today about a better than better world. And I mean, I think that's probably one thing we can all get together on is that we wouldn't mind having a better world. So that's a good thing. But I think we also, without too much reflection, we can probably also agree that our pursuit of a better world, while it has brought us a lot of good things, it has also kind of created this geopolitical, social, economic, ecological mess that we're all in and that we would like something better than. So better than better is what we're looking for, I guess. Anyway, I'm Greg Meyer. Great to see you all here today. Maya Dallagher is going to join me here in just a minute. She works with our middle and high school kids that are being part of our seed project, and we hope to bring a better than better perspective to a community here who is trying to be a better than better church around a conversation that would maybe help us envision a better than better world. So welcome. Whether you're here with us live, masked, vaxxed, and socially distanced, or if you're on the live stream right now, welcome, or if you're catching us on the podcast, we're glad to have you as well. Also, hey, we are in person, so we are back to an outline. And for those of you who love filling these out and haven't done one for a couple years, I have enough blanks on here for 2 years, all right? So get, you know, warm up your pens. If you're on the podcast or on the live stream, I think there's a link being shared right now. There's also a link on the description of the podcast that I'll give you, take you to that outline as well. And it's actually filled in for you other guys, but don't tell the people in the room that. Okay. Now, I want to start by letting you know that the real message here is not in the points that I'm going to be making or the illustrations that I give you or the explanations. The real gist, the real heart of this message today is going to be an example, a real-life demonstration by our middle schoolers, nine of our middle schoolers who have been a part of this seed project and their mentors along with them and how they are changing the world.
I am Maya, and I had the lovely opportunity to work with a bunch of middle schoolers and a bunch of very awesome adult mentors this fall and winter. And each one of these middle schoolers was given $100 by you all, the Fabric community, which is a pretty big responsibility when you're a middle schooler. They also got a little bit of structure to follow, and they had a mentor. That was like a huge part of this, is they had somebody walking with them. And still walking with them, I hope these are relationships that continue. And they were asked to change the world, which is a pretty big thing, but a very cool and worthy opportunity for these people. So thanks for celebrating them today. Some of you guys just received some Play-Doh, and I am not a kid, so I'm like struggling to get mine out of the thing. But I want you to turn to your page with the shelves on them. And I want you to start filling up those shelves with things that you think would make your life better. Like maybe you want another one of those video games, or like sometimes better just means more of your favorite thing. So I challenge you to start filling up those shelves with all of your favorite things.
So this idea of a better world is not a new idea. I mean, it's really what the world was always supposed to be, right? And if you want to know what part of the Bible helps us understand what this better world would look like, I would say it's this part. Like the whole thing, right? I mean, that's what the message of this book is all about, to make the world a better place. And I would say that translates what it's trying to tell us as a better than better place, but we're going to kind of get into that as we go along here. And so if you want to think about this, what this book is trying to tell us is that when we weave our strand with others and with that God strand, with that third strand, we start getting experience of what that is all about. To think about the fact that God's way of understanding our world and where this world could be going to become a better place, to say that that is different from the way we think about it is probably an understatement. In fact, that's probably a pretty good way to understand what is the difference between a better world and a better than better world. A better world is our way of doing it, which has its good points, but kind of falls short a lot. And God's vision, this third strand's vision, the way the fabric of the universe is meant to be woven, would be that better than better vision of the whole thing. But so let me give you like a 1 minute quick run through the Bible and its vision for a better than better world, okay? It's pretty easy, and this is on your outline, but it starts with the beginning. We're gonna have the beginning and the middle and the end, right? So the beginning, the very first chapter in the Bible, we have this poetic understanding of how God creates this world, weaves it all together, not science, not history, but showing us our relationships and how we are aligned with things. And there are four or five times where they're punctuated by God looks at this and says, it is good. It is good. So if we want to keep this better world, if we want to have this world that is good, like how are we part of how this was all put together in the first place? So that's the beginning, right? We can go a lot more into that. The middle, Jesus pops up, right? And Jesus begins his whole work, his whole ministry with his first sermon, his first speech, whatever, his first public address, all right? It's the fifth chapter of Matthew, and it's something that is commonly called the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. Each one of those Beatitudes, what he's really saying is this: blessed are those who live in sync with what God loves, with how the fabric is truly woven. Blessed are those. All right, so that's Jesus bringing us into the same idea of a better than better world. And then the very end, the last chapter. Okay, the second to the last chapter. The book of Revelation, a very troublesome book, very hard to read. We can talk about that another time. But it ends with a very clear and a very specific vision of a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. And that is in line with what it was supposed to be like in the first place, bringing us back into that alignment, bringing us back in sync with how the world was meant to be. Now, that's just a quick one. Those passages are all marked there. You can take a look at them this week and see how what we're talking about today fits into this vision that maybe God would be trying to lead us into, something that God would imagine. So that's God. That's a very quick one. But the big question is, how are we a part of that? Like, what is this better than better world for us? What could that be? And to get there, to begin to understand that, I think we have to understand what we are thinking about when we go after just a better world. Not the better than better, but just a plain better world. And this is all on your outline. And like I said, there are a lot of blanks. You're going to have to write fast. That's okay.
Challenge.
Challenge accepted. Yeah. Okay. So what is the better world? A better world, yeah, it is a better one in a lot of ways. But in our pursuit of it, we miss stuff, don't we? We miss a lot of things. We don't understand how it all goes together. And this better world ends up being two things. It ends up being superficial and short-sighted. Let me quickly name a couple ways where that happens. Right? This isn't rocket science. You know this. It's also talked about through this book constantly. All right? One, we focus on more stuff that's more convenient at a lower price for ourselves. If I can have more stuff at a lower price that's more convenient for me, that's a better world. Yeah, maybe, huh? And then all that stuff, when we do all that stuff, we miss a connection between the making of it and the having of it. Production, consumption. We miss the link between those two. It doesn't matter what it takes to make it, just get it to me so that I can have it. That's our definition of a better world all too often. And then we forget what happens to our stuff when we are done with it. All right? Everything from the gas we put in our car, the consumables that we buy, the poop and the pee that we put in the pot, whoosh, gone. No, it's not. We just don't see it anymore. Okay? And yeah, so that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So what do you, I hope you guys are filling up your shelves. And it is so easy to think that all the things that we want will make our lives so much better. But like Greg said, sometimes we don't think about, like, how is that toy made? How did it travel to me? And after you're done playing with it, or when it breaks, what's going to happen to it afterwards? Sometimes we don't think about those parts. Eloise is one of our middle schoolers, and she really kind of called out humans on what they do to our Earth, and she's got something to say about that. So let's listen to Eloise.
Well, because, like, dogs are really sweet and caring things. Like, they're not mean. They're, like, they're not like, I mean, humans are just, like, they've infected the Earth. They've made it terrible. And dogs just, like, they're so sweet. They did nothing to deserve that. So, like, it's, I mean, if humans are gonna ruin the world, then you might as well help dogs.
Yeah. Thank you, Eloise.
You know, so we have all these miscalculations about our stuff, but we also miss something about our others and about one another. And that's the last one there, is that we lose sight of others in the pursuit of our interests and our appetites. I mean, true? Don't we do that? I'm not saying that's what we always do, but doesn't that happen a lot, that we lose sight of each other as we pursue our interests and appetites? In short, this better world, it looks great, and in a lot of ways it really is. I mean, there's so many wonderful things that we have created in this world, but in the long run, and in that full picture, there's a crack in all of it, and we're creating problems that we don't know how to solve, and we need a better world for.
Right now, I want you guys to turn to the next page. There's a nice-looking head there, but it needs a face. And this next kind of part is about how changing the world can feel pretty discouraging sometimes. So discouraging sometimes looks like sad. So can you guys make a sad face? Or maybe it looks like frustrated. You can make a frustrated face. So I want you, while we're listening to this next part, start making a discouraging, a frustrated, a sad face on your person there. There were a lot of challenges in the seed projects, and one of them kind of stood out from the others. So Peter is going to tell us a hard truth about the world and how changing the world can feel pretty discouraging sometimes. So listen up to Peter.
The main challenge of my project is that the organization I'm working with came under investigation by the FBI. When I talked to the Christine Twait, mm-hmm. like, she seemed really passionate about it. It's like, I don't think they were, but, like, I don't know. I mean, it feels like they were genuine, but I don't know anymore. I don't know. I don't know where to go from here.
That's very real, a little bit of an exceptional experience, but it's the stuff that's out there. And wow, what a great thing for us to have a lesson in early on in life as we try to figure out what does it mean and who we work with and how do things sometimes go for us. So this fact that, you know, trying to make this better world that we have in our mind, that we're trying to make happen, it can be discouraging. We experience that in a couple of different ways. And one is that what I do as one person doesn't matter. We have that sense of what I do as one person doesn't matter. I can't save the world. Why even try? And then there's this problem that there is so much out there to do. They've got so many problems. How do I choose? We just get paralyzed by the fact that we don't know what to choose, where to start, what to do. And then there's what I call the I'm not that kind of a person syndrome, right? I'm not the person who goes and marches, who, you know, advances legislation through the state or through the federal government or city and stuff like that. I'm just not that kind of person. Or I'm not the kind of person who's going to ride my bike all the time or is going to never buy something that comes in a plastic bottle or that never eats meat again, stuff like that. I'm not that kind of person. And we see all those archetypes out there, and we say, I don't fit any of those. I'm not that kind of person, so therefore what am I going to do? I can't do anything. And we dismiss ourselves from the range of things to do, which isn't really a helpful way to do it. So there are those technical problems around our better world. Then we have our emotional, our personal problems, why we don't try, why we can't try, why we keep getting our legs kicked out from underneath us. So if that's all around a better world, what would a better than better world and our being a part of that be like? And that's what we want to look at now. And basically, it's pretty simple. These are things that you know, things that this book tries to tell us about over and over and again. And it's basically this: a better than better world is good for everyone. Good for everyone, including, when I say everyone, the non-human world, right? And it actually works. It doesn't like, this is a great solution now, but if it's going to sneak around and bite me in the butt later on, right? It's not one of those kinds of situations. And a reason it works in the long run is that it has a long-haul perspective on how things work. It has a long-haul perspective on how things work. Now, there are four components of this that I'm going to go through really, really fast, if I wasn't already, okay? And that is this. How does this all work? A better than better world uses an ecological, not just an economical, understanding of how the world works. We have a tendency to think that economics is a big thing, and if we can fit the ecology into it, that's fine. It's the other way around. The ecology is the big bucket. Our economy is one component in it. We need to get that straight. Another is that a better than better world sees us as part of, not apart from, all things, from the rest of the world. If your understanding of independence says that you are immune from what other people and other things that are going on, somehow you can have your own little life, or that what you do isn't going to impact other people, you are living under an illusion. You are part of all things, not apart from all things. Also, a better than better world is focused on meeting our prioritized values rather than our wants. To put it more bluntly, a better than better world is about generosity, not greed. And guess what? If you try to live those two lives, greed might seem more attractive. I guarantee you generosity will be a lot more satisfying for you. And then also, it knows, a better than better world knows, that what is good for me needs to be good for you. If what's good for me isn't good for you, guess what? It isn't good. All right? And now I know it's complicated, and it almost always requires some kind of compromise. But as we work out that compromise, can we be equitable? Can we be fair? Can we be loving and compassionate to other people so it's not always the same groups of people who are paying the price of the compromises that we have to arrive at? Those are some basic things for us to be thinking about as we do that. All four of those are really important, but we just want to focus on the second one, right? Yeah. And what you've been hearing us talk about a lot over this last year, and that sort of sums all of them up, that you are part of, not apart from.
Yeah, so if you have Play-Doh right now, I want you to take your Play-Doh and cut it in half. Pull it into two parts, and I want you to go and find somebody else with Play-Doh and trade half of your Play-Doh with you. If you can't find somebody, just come towards me and
they have to have a different color Play-Doh.
They have to have a different color. And just hold them separate for now. So you're going to have to walk around, probably, to find somebody with different Play-Doh. This red is me, and sometimes, like, it's way easier, it's cleaner, it's more comfortable if I'm just like me over here hanging out. And you might see on the next page, we have kind of our two circles, one for each color. We like to be separate. But that's not how the world works. That last point of, like, if something is good for me, it can't really be good unless it's also good for you, too. So I think I traded with Willa here. So really, this is the world that we live in. It needs to be mixed together. We are a part of each other and a part of the fabric and the world. And you can't really separate those things all the time. So, Greg, what are you trying to do over there?
I'm trying to get her green out of my blue.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. I'm not even trying to do that because we're all a part of the fabric.
I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, It's a lost cause. So our seed projects, our middle schoolers worked a lot with organizations, mentors, other people. So here are them talking about some of their connections that they made.
I connected with my mentor, helped me do it. It was good. He was nice. And yeah, he was very helpful. I connected with the food group, which is a organization in Minnesota that does, like, they help get healthy food to people who need it.
Yeah, just to see all the people running it and, like, knowing, like, I did that. I'm the person that set that up. Also to do it with friends and, like, people from school, because I'm going to invite people from school and stuff, like teachers and coaches and stuff, so it's going to be really cool.
I was excited because they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to do more with Avenues, and I said I would, so there might be more opportunities to do more stuff with them in the future. So it was just exciting to take sort of the project beyond, like, the grounds for this specific project.
One of the challenges I faced was not knowing exactly what organization I had to choose, and Kevin helped me through that a lot, and I just want to thank him for doing that.
Yeah, lots of connections happening.
Yeah. So we talked, I mean, we all know that when we chase after that better world, that kind of fruitless one that really isn't going to answer things, all the discouragement, the stuff in there. Now, a better than better world is a challenge too. I mean, it's hard to do a better and better world. But I think we deal with that. We deal with that discouragement, that frustration and everything. We find the courage and the hope in two things. We find it in solidarity, and we find it in alignment. Solidarity and alignment. We have used this quote many times over the years with Fabric, and it's one that I hold on to, and I encourage you to remember. It reminds us of that solidarity, and it is this. I am only one person, but I am one person. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And I won't let the things that I can't do keep me from doing what I can do. It's an important thing for us to hold on to.
All right, now you have your new Play-Doh color, and you can flip to our world page here.
Look at mine, looks like.
And, oh yeah, Greg's looks like a Earth. That's kind of cool. So I want you to take like an eraser-sized piece of it. And this represents you. And our goal here is to change the world. But when I put my one circle on there, it's changing part of the world, but not changing all of it. So I'm going to make another little circle. And this is going to be Greg. Greg, I'm going to put you next to me. And once again, we're not quite changing the whole world. So why don't you try and make a ton of little eraser-sized pieces that represent different people, and let's see if you can cover or change the entire world. The middle schoolers learned a lot about, or they shared. I think so much of education is uncovering what is already known. And these middle schoolers really showed how, like, the little things can add up to big things with their organizations that they worked with and just their, like, philosophies on life, I think. So here are a few more middle schoolers talking about what they're passionate about and also how to change the world.
I got donations, and for every dollar that was donated, a pound of trash was taken out of the ocean. I gave away a lot of bracelets, which kind of, like, showed that they donated.
Well, I don't normally work this hard for like a specific thing. And also hopeful like they actually read the books, like they like the actual books, because like I love the books.
You can find it anywhere, honestly.
Okay, help me.
You might have to look hard enough, but it's like paying attention to little details, like, or like the little things people would say or do. Like, just a smile. You can find hope in that.
Yeah.
So each of them is doing something different, yet they're all doing something. And there's an alignment in the heart and what they're seeking behind all of it. And that makes that strength, that solidarity and alignment. As we go on here, The truth is, you can't save the world, okay? But you don't have to, all right? You don't have to. Just do your part and discover what comes next. Like Kenny and Tripp found in that little interview that our conversation with each other that we overheard, there are 7 billion other people out there that can be doing their part, that can make the things happen. Now, another piece to know about that is like, isn't it? But how are you going to get all these people doing it? And this is one of the truths that we're learning, is that not everybody has to get on board. There's a thing that we call a tipping point. There's a place at a certain point of people being involved with things where stuff starts changing. And a lot of sociologists say it's somewhere around 10%. When 10% of the people get behind something, there's an increased change in the impact that the people have, and the movement just starts becoming self-propelled and starts changing. So don't worry that not everybody's getting on board. Just find the people. Help start the movement that you can be a part of. And the last piece is this. Aligning your life with the world brings a satisfaction that is deeper than filling your wants. Align your life or fill your wants. I know this is kind of the delayed gratification, you know, not eating the marshmallow and waiting the 10 minutes and getting the second one sort of thing. And that's hard, but it's the way that brings us that kind of gratification. We find impact, our impact multiplying, and we feel the wonder of being part of things rather than that constant tension of being apart from the things that are around us. So, bringing this full circle, when we renamed ourselves Fabric back in 2018, you know, way, way back before the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, a lot of thought went into that name. And the vision that we had behind that is that the way the world works, this better than better world, is one in which we are fully woven with one another and with that third strand, with God. The way that this universe is put together, that bigger than better than deeper and fuller than all of us. And together, we not only find a place for ourselves when we do this, but we kind of create the world that we all need and the world that God is leading to us, however it is that you understand the presence of that God in your life. Now, we've represented that weaving of our lives with one another in a lot of ways over these years, and we are starting another way of doing that this week over here. And this is an ongoing project, that ongoing display that we want to continue to use, and seeing how our lives are woven together as this fabric. And the middle schoolers, with how they've been changing the world and weaving their lives together to change the lives of others and to make this world more like a better than better world, we'd like them to, they've been leading by example, we'd like them to lead off with us today.
Yeah. I am so proud of all the middle schoolers here. Whether you know it or not, you inspired a lot of people in this room today, including me. Woo, yeah. You guys put yourselves out there and really practiced changing the world, and that is hard work to do. And you also took the action to make it happen. Not only were you practicing believing in yourself and our ability as a community to change things, you were taking action to make that happen. So sometimes seeds stay dormant for a long time. So today we aren't just celebrating any successes that you guys might have, but we're celebrating that the seed in you is planted, and who knows what that will grow into later. And you guys are a seed planted in our community too, and I'm excited to see where all these seeds grow. So yeah, let's give you guys another round of applause. Right now, I'm gonna invite all the middle schoolers up to come and weave a strand into our lovely weaving over here, all right? So you guys can come up and do that to symbolize the seed planted.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.